This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today my guest on Off the Shelf is Ray Bjorklund. Ray is the president of Birch Grove Consulting. And Ray, it's that time of year. We need to have you on, talk about the budget, what's going on, get your insights and analysis, your awesome analysis and inspired insight. That's a great tagline. I love that tagline for you, for your company. So welcome to the show, Ray.
Thanks very much, Roger.
Well, I'm looking forward to our conversation. And, you know, when we've talked about, you know, the current, you know, budget outlook and how it relates to government contractors, you've, you know, sort of characterized it as living in harsh times, as opposed to hard times or challenging times. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, why you chose that terminology, living in harsh times?
Yeah, despite the continuing decline in the budget for contract spending is what I focus on. You know, it's still an enormous market. And yes, it is difficult. It's not like hard times. It's not like we're trying to rub two pennies together, you know, but it's really harsh times. This is kind of a reset. You think about reset and the military equipment and all that, but
sure,
this is kind of like a reset of the entire market. And some people call it new normal, you know, but this is a cycle that occurs, you know, every 15, 20 years anyway. So we just have to be prepared for harsh times and not hard times.
Right. It really is about where the tempo of the federal government, you know, is getting back to, I guess, more normal, right? And to a certain extent, right? When you talk about the last decade and the conflicts in Afghanistan, Iraq, you know, creating Department of Homeland Security, all that went with that. I mean, that's, you know, and the tempo of spending just sort of reflected, you know, government's role growing and federal contracts growing to support that mission. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. And it has been for that whole decade. It was quite a run-up. But as the deficit, you know, continued to grow, and now it's sort of shrinking, you know, there's been so much pressure to try.
I like the way you say that, sort of shrinking.
But yeah. Because it depends on, you know, whose numbers you look at.
Right.
What analysts, you know, are making comments about the deficit. But the point is that we went through a great recession. It was a very, very difficult time, and it required a lot of reset by the government, and we're just into that mode now.
Right. And speaking of reset, or can we talk a little bit, you know, we're going to get into some, you know, nuts and bolts and numbers and look at DOD and civilian spending. But, you know, sort of the bottom line, like where we are when you look at, because as I understand it, right, your analysis, you're looking at the president's budget message and what they've laid out. And can you talk a little bit about, you know, sort of the bottom line, what that impact there is and what you see moving forward?
Yeah, well, as this administration, the Obama administration, has been pushing hard on an agenda for the last few years, which is jobs, jobs, jobs. It's really, you know, taking care of the Main Street economy. And so when you step back and think about that, you know, while some people talk about reset and new normal, you know, you think about there still is investment areas that this administration wants to make. So there are other kinds of opportunities, maybe not in areas like defense. So you have to kind of, you know, step back and think about what those messages are telling you. But, you know, overall, contract spending will continue to go down over the next couple of years. It's going to get a little worse before it ever gets better. And, you know, even the administration is saying that, but that's what the numbers are showing too.
Right. But that the numbers going down, it's going to go down faster for DOD, right? Is that
Well, it's good for overall in the government for the next couple of years, and actually last couple of years, but also the next couple of years, it will continue going down generally faster. But DOD is on a greater glide slope downward than the civilian agencies.
Right. And so the other thing I wanted to ask you about is how, you know, this glide slope, the reduced spending now, that's all part of the budget deal, is it not? Or what, you know, you described the, you know, right now we have breathing room. Well, we have the, you know, the budget deal in place. What does that mean?
The Ryan Murray budget deal, which was struck last December, it did give some breathing room to the agencies, and therefore it gave some breathing room to contractors who were facing even greater declines in contract spending or proposed contract spending. The breathing room I'm talking about is that deal, which created, in many ways, created two-year money out of one-year money, did give a little bit of easing. You know, we talk about the Fed and their quantitative easing.
Right, right.
Yeah, this was quantitative easing of contract spending.
Okay. And is part of that two-year budget deal, because, you know, when you think about sequestration and the shutdown, all that, you know, the sequestration was very, for lack of a better term, very mechanical or very objective, right? You went across the board. The way it was implemented and required by the law is that across the board, every program was cut X percent, right? There's no,
yes,
you know, agencies could not make decision, you know, strategic decisions really about what to cut and what to invest in. Does this budget deal provide some of that flexibility?
It did. And what it all boils down to is reprogramming authority.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, it did provide some of that that flexibility. But despite the budget deal being struck and everybody breathing somewhat of a sigh of relief, then Congress came back to work and started on continuing the appropriations legislative process, which is painful, as we all know.
Yes. You said it. You even said that with a little pain in your voice. I could hear that.
Yes. And, you know, and they undid some of the two-year aspects of the budget deal. So, but still, the fact that the budget caps were under the Budget Control Act, those caps that would force sequester were raised a little bit in the near term. That's the breathing room I'm talking about.
Okay.
For the next roughly year.
Okay. And now let's turn a little bit. I know you've done some, as you always do, some excellent analysis of, you know, the president's budget proposal and his message. And first, can you just sort of, I guess, summarize the highlights of, you know, of that budget message? It is a political document. I mean, I know you make that point all the time. And so what are the messages that you see coming out of that from a big picture perspective before, you know, we start diving into some details?
One of the, and really the core of the messages that the president is sending to Congress and sending to the American public, it hasn't changed a lot in the last couple of years. There still is this jobs, 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 Main Street economy kind of focus. But in accordance with that, you know, it isn't so much a matter of what is coming out of the message. It's messaging on how that not only the agencies but contractors should be helping to make a better, more efficient government. And you say, well, there's not a lot of new in that. No, there isn't. But it's just a reemphasis of that that message. And so that's part of the selling and marketing strategies that contractors need to be thinking about. You know, how do we continue to make the government work better, more effective, more efficient?
Right. And it's interesting because, you know, that emphasis is something that you're starting – like more and more people, you know, are talking about whether they're in the administration or not. You know, I recently had Tom Davis on the show, and he's, you know, promoting the idea of smart, lean government, you know, breaking down barriers and, you know, shared services models and that sort of thing. And, you know, so it would seem to me that there'd be some room to maneuver there for folks to get together to figure out, ways to do that, you know, across, you know, the aisles and you know, and through contractors and through the private sector.
Certainly. But, you know, you've got this challenge of a market dynamic, and that market dynamic is companies want to make money. And when you start reducing
the overall spending, we still live in America, right?
Yeah. Reducing the overall spending and encouraging more consolidation of effort, that usually means consolidation of contracted effort.
Right, reduced opportunities.
Companies may be, you know, taking a lot less revenue out of this system.
Right. Well, Ray, we do have to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll start to dive into some of the numbers. We'll take a look at DOD, I think, and look at what's going on there and get your insights on where there's opportunities, where there's challenges, and what the defense profile looks like moving forward. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Ray Bjorklund. Ray is the president of Birch Grove Consulting. Awesome analysis, inspired insight, right, Ray? Ray, when we took the break, I mentioned we're going to start to get into some numbers or just talk about specific parts of the budget and proposal and what's going on there. And of course, still the biggest segment of the budget is the Department of Defense. And I wanted to start by getting your insights on what's going on in the department and how what their budget profile looks like and what it means for government contractors. I know that's a big nut to crack, but I am very confident that you'll provide some inspired insight in this area. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for that degree of confidence. Okay. Yes, particularly over the last decade, but even before that, Department of Defense spending is on contracts has always been a very, very, very large part of government spending. Yes, that is declining. It's declining. It planned to decline at a rate faster than the civilian agency decline. In fact, civilian agencies are actually going to be in the net spending over the 2-year period from 13 to 15, actually going up a few percentage points. But DOD is going down several percentage points. And, you know, overall, and this, you know, people always look for that overall number. In 2015, civilian and defense spending for contracts planned to be approximately $668 billion. Still enormous market. But when you start to step back and look at some of the big shifts that are going on within the defense spending compared to civilian agency spending, one of them has really stood out to me in the analysis. You know, we think about Department of Defense spending a lot on services contracting, which they do and they will continue to do. But in 2015, that shift is so pronounced that the civilian agencies are going to be spending 60% of the services contracting budget as opposed to DOD's 40%. Now, usually it's roughly half,
yeah,
but that's a pretty significant milestone.
Right, it's a huge change in the market.
Yes, and so, you know, companies that have been very focused on the defense market, and I'll make a comment about why there's no reason to totally despair about defense spending. But the companies have been focused on that. You know, may want to look at civilian agencies where there are some growth areas that are quite intriguing, and it's in areas where you can often parlay some of your defense expertise, you know, whether it's in Homeland Security or even in the Securities and Exchange Commission, which actually has a pretty significant increase in their planned increase in their contracting budget. But, you know, in defense, you shouldn't be too despair too much, because at least defense is very, and even Congress supporting defense on this matter, is very conscientious about continuing to spend money in the RDT&E accounts, so research, development, test, and evaluation accounts. And, you know, the cuts in those accounts are really not significant. They're trying to sustain enough spending on advanced technology that can eventually be converted into warfighting capability. So that's a piece of good news, you know. But then you take construction spending, you know, it's way down. You know, it's a big cut in Department of Defense. Now, DOD would, of course, like to have another BRAC.
Yes.
And they've sort of hinted at it, and they've kind of asked for it. And, you know, the Hill says, not on our watch.
Right.
Very, very painful, politically painful. Yeah. So, you know, that's where DOD is continuing looking for those kinds of savings as they cut back on their human infrastructure. And which leads to kind of another interesting point. You look at the spending on subsistence, which is basically billeting and food and lodging for people that move around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Also for prisoners that are in the federal prison system, but we're talking about DOD, so that's not that. But,
right.
But you know, that's like one of those areas that's really, really going down, and particularly in the Army, which, of course, has the largest workforce. And, you know, but the Army is also reducing in size, too. So
is that part of that, just the drawdown of operations in Iraq and Afghanistan? Is that leading to some of that reductions?
Absolutely. That's the big driver in the reductions of the workforce. So you draw down that workforce, then the amount of contracting that is needed to support that workforce, like operating bases, doing base operations support, training, even, you know, people, you know, airlines that fly the troops around. I mean, all that's obviously going to be cut back. And it's going to be painful for some of those companies that are in that space.
Right. I guess one of the, you know, it's interesting, and the headlines, you know, last week, I think all the service heads were up on the Hill and talking about having to rein in personnel costs at DOD, you know, and Congress is reluctant to do that. Aren't personnel costs becoming a bigger, or at least they're maintaining the size or proportion within the DOD budget at the same time the number of troops is being reduced. So the actual cost per soldier is going up. Isn't that going to be an ongoing challenge for DOD?
Yes, it is. I'm not sure that either side of this argument has really good numbers or analysis on whether costs are going up too much or too little. Supporting a person, particularly a military person, is very expensive. Their training is very expensive. In fact, you're basically taking care of their, you know, 3 square meals a day and giving them a bed, you know, that's some expense. And then because they have made that sacrifice and commitment as individual military members, and, you know, they're entitled to health care to some degree. And if they stick it out for the entire run, you know, they get retirement too. So it is pretty expensive for, you know, a military person. But is it a set of runaway costs? I mean, take healthcare, for instance. Some interesting statistics now coming out from the Obama administration. We'll have to see if CBO agrees with that, about the Affordable Care Act, which doesn't affect the military that much. But you know, think about healthcare. And the active military healthcare is run by a health system, a military health system, that is coordinated now by a new agency.
Yeah, Defense Health Agency.
Correct.
Right, yes.
And see, therein lies opportunity when you start thinking about a new agency or a consolidation of effort.
Opportunity for contractors.
Yes. Yeah. And DHA is planning on spending a significant amount of money in 2015 for new systems to coordinate
system. Mm-hmm.
across all of the military health offerings. And you can kind of think that there may be some of those efficiencies that the administration has been seeking will come out of that, and they might be able to reduce those longer-term healthcare costs. So, you know, I don't think it's a dire story, but it is it the way DOD tells it.
Sure.
You know, but I think that there is certainly a lot of opportunity for improving it and reducing those long-term costs.
Right. And one of the first things you mentioned is, research and development spending, remains relatively robust. I'll put the term there, relatively there, for investments for future capability. Does that mean on the flip side, DOD's making decisions about current capabilities, making a long-term investment while, I don't want to say shortchanging certain capability, but making, short decisions about where to, reduce numbers or equipment and that sort of thing? Is that what's going on here? They're having to make some decisions where in the past, right, for the last decade, it's like, here's all the money.
Right.
Here's all your money. Do whatever you need to do kind of thing, which is appropriate, I think. We're in a war, couple wars.
That was an intriguing time when I was in the Pentagon when we were still in the Cold War.
Yes.
And I was told, here's another $100 million. See if you can spend it.
Right.
And we had, we had things lined up to spend it on.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, DOD has to consciously realign their force structure, which is a combination of all of the warfighting capability to include the troops, to include sailors, Marines, airmen. And they've been doing this now over the last 5, 6, 7 years. In part because the limited level conflict that was going on in Southwest Asia demanded a different kind of warfighting, one that's heavily sponsored or supported by ISR, or Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance. So DOD and the military commanders have said, we want more of that.
Yes.
That's what's been happening gradually in this shifting of the force structure. Now, what's going to, how do we position in the future if there really is a pivot to the Pacific? Do we need different kinds of warfighting capability? I think we're kind of on that path. And so getting back to the heart of your question, if there is continued spending money or spending on RDT&E, on the new technologies, what are they spending on? And yes, a lot of it has to do with much more precise kind of warfighting supported, enabled by exchange of information. So ISR is in there, low observables, basically stealth is in there, some of the specialized capabilities for the special operations organizations.
Drone technologies, right?
Yeah.
UAVs,
so, it already is starting to change, but they haven't really decided explicitly what the new force structure is.
Right.
QDRs and those kinds of reviews are supposed to kind of get you there, but they never quite do because there's a lot of feet dragging by the commanders.
Right. It's just a parochial interest, right?
Yeah, and the way they've done business in the past.
Yeah. Ray, we have to take our next break. My guest today is Ray Bjorklund, president of Birch Grove Consulting. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about some of the specific numbers in the DOD budget, and then we'll do our pivot maybe to the civilian agencies and what's going on there. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Ray Bjorklund. He is president of Birch Grove Consulting, and we're talking the president's budget, the outlook moving forward, what it means for government contractors. And Ray, I just wanted to finish up our little talk about DOD. And I know from some of your analysis looking at it, for example, the Army spend is going to go down about 40%. Is that correct? And sort of what does that mean for people who do business with the Army?
Yeah, the 40% reduction has a lot to do with the size of the force. And as the force draws down and the need to invest in additional equipment to replenishment and reset of equipment is still going to be fairly important the next couple of years, but it's really cutting back. So you don't need as many ground vehicles, and you don't need as many warfighting combat vehicles. You don't need as many weapons. You don't need as much ammunition. And certainly as you start separating military people whose enlistments are up, you don't need the base infrastructure to be able to support them. So it's that period of 1 year from 14 to 15 is going to be a 40% reduction in overall contract spending in the Army.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that is a huge reset for the Army. What does, looking at the other services, Navy and the Air Force, what's their profiles look like? Talk about the Navy first, I think.
Okay. Navy's going down too, but not as much. It's going down about 13% in their contract spending. The Navy, while the Navy certainly played an important role in Southwest Asia in those two conflicts, they were usually offshore. There were some Marines and sailors that were onshore doing some work. But the Navy is the Navy, and it doesn't change that much in terms of force structure because you've made great investment in ships and airplanes and other assets. That is something that still may be useful in the pivot to the Pacific. So we don't see a lot of reduction in the Navy. And then there's an overall concern that not only the Navy has, but the shipbuilders have, and Congress shares regarding the shipbuilding industry, which we have to maintain an industrial base of shipbuilding. And so Congress is, for the last 2 years, pumped up a new account that's about $1.5 to $1.9 billion for the Secretary of Navy to use as he sees fit in assisting various aspects of the shipbuilding enterprise. So that could be shore activities, it could be the actual shipbuilding, it could be a variety of things, but that's a lot of money to be spent in the course of a year.
Yeah, and it just makes me think. I'm from Maine, right? And so, I went to college very close to Bath Iron Works,
yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So, and the investments there and the ships and is always a big deal to whether you're going to maintain the capability there to build ships or not as part of the industrial base. So, I understand what you're saying there. With regard to the Air Force, they're spending a lot of money, right? You got the F-35, right? They're thinking about a bomber, right, in the future.
Thinking about it. Yeah, it's the technology part of spending, for new bomber technologies. But they haven't really decided what that's going to be yet. Yeah. But yeah, the F-35, it's been in many ways a painful program. It's been a joint program, which kind of makes it painful.
Yes, yes.
I've done enough joint programs in my career. Very painful. But there is some degree of protection now for the F-35 program because it does seem to be kind of getting it together and it's going to be a pretty good program in the end. But the Air Force is also responsible for important strategic capabilities like airlift, which the Army and the Marines use and the Navy to some degree. Important strategic capabilities like satellite communications. Important strategic capabilities like ISR that we talked about already.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of that continuing investment is going to be made, particularly in the Air Force.
Right. And aren't they also, they're building the tanker, right? Right now?
Yeah.
Or so that's another investment that they have to make, it seems to me.
Well, it is. I mean, once you get a program of that magnitude started, you usually have to continue on with the program to not create too much of a disruption in your budget because, termination costs and the like. But yeah, that program seems to be going reasonably well now.
Okay. So we've sort of covered the cuts. Can you name one or two or three, your choice, Ray, growth areas in the DoD budget that contractors should be sensitive to or think about? I think one of them you mentioned, Defense Health Agency and its investments, in new systems, IT systems. Mm-hmm. Over its platform to manage healthcare for veterans and for servicemen. Are there other areas, one or two other areas, where you see potential opportunities for contractors?
Yeah, and the second major area we've talked about briefly too, which is ISR, Intelligence Surveillance Reconnaissance Systems. But third area, and this is why the defense agencies is a combination of contract spending only going down about 3% over the period 14 to 15. And that's in part because you mentioned DHA is in there, the Defense Health Agency, but also DISA. And Defense Information Systems Agency is continuing to, and this is because of what OSD has done, Terry Takei as a CIO's office, has encouraged much more consolidation of infrastructure. Is the Navy ever going to consolidate with the rest of DOD for email and other kinds of, well, I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. But, you know, DISA.
You even mentioning it probably upset them, right?
Yeah, probably did. Probably did. I've had interesting work with the Navy over my career.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of those things that you can say cloud, or you say cloud. You know,
right.
But, you know, a lot of that going on within DISA, consolidating infrastructure, creating much more X as a service, software as a service, you know, platform as a service. And so there's investments that have to be made now to be able to achieve some of those longer term savings. So that's probably the third major area.
Okay, great. Let's turn a little bit now to the civilian agencies. We got a couple minutes left in this segment, and then, you know, we got one more segment to go. And, you know, it's interesting to me, and I never really thought about it. It's a strange world we live in. I've worked for the government 20 years, and DOD was always the biggest, you know, and they still are. But when earlier in the show you mentioned that the services spend is going to flip, where civilian agencies are going to account for 60%. And DOD about 40, where it was usually historically sort of 50-50. Yeah, that seems to me a profound trend. Can you talk a little bit about what's going on the civilian side, and maybe, and then we'll can look at a little bit more detail as well.
Yeah, in the area of services specifically, Treasury, namely IRS, is one of those growth areas.
No, we don't want them anyway. I get more money, right?
because of backlog in just helping taxpayers. And I always kind of laugh that one of their organizations.
Helping. I put that helping in quotes there, right?
Right. One of the organizations called Taxpayer Assistance.
Right. Say, yes.
We're here to help.
Right.
Just like the IG.
Yeah.
Yeah. So because a lot of those systems have been, you know, going through fits and starts, there's been a long-term business systems modernization. Now you still need people. And a lot of it will be contract services to do adjudication. And then think Affordable Care Act and IRS's role in monitoring, managing those tax credit systems. So that's one area of growth. You know, but you look overall growth, taking a little bit out of services, Department of Commerce growing. You say, well, what's the big deal
what's
there?
What's going on there?
There's something called NOAA, National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, who builds satellites and launches satellites, has a fleet of ships, has enormous amount of computational capability for organizations like the National Weather Service. And there is a lot of growth in those technologies to support NOAA's mission. And then overall, Commerce has the leading the charge with respect to export controls and export promotion. And there is money involved in that too, as this administration, partly to support Main Street economy, is continuing to push on those areas where we can improve trade balance and get more of our goods and services overseas and hopefully bring jobs back.
Right. Ray, you know, part of the jobs program here is I have to do periodic ads. So we do have to take our break. But when we come back, we'll be talking more to Ray Bjorklund. Ray is the president of Birch Grove Consulting, and we'll continue our discussion of the budget and, you know, and talk a little bit more about the civilian agency spending side and what it means for government contractors. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Ray Bjorklund. He's the president of Birch Grove Consulting and one of the best known budget analysts around town. And Ray, we had begun a discussion of the civilian agencies, and I just want to turn it over to you. You pointed out some areas of opportunity with regard to commerce and also healthcare and that sort of thing. So I just want to let's turn it back over to you, and you can, you know, fill the airwaves with your wisdom on the budget. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, thank you for that vote of confidence. All right. Another area of growth is in Department of Education. The kinds of loan programs and the shifting of some of the support to students has caused a requirement for additional spending in supporting those administrative programs. So there's some very intriguing growth area there. The legislative branch.
Who?
Is growing approximately 7%.
How can
7%.
That happen? The outrage.
Yes, the outrage. But legislative branch includes the Library of Congress.
Okay.
Includes GPO, where there is some very intriguing technology spending going on, particularly in the Library of Congress. So there's some...
And
some,
what is that? Is that, you know, for restoration? What, you know, well, it's data...
More, yeah,
you know,
it's more
data?
Consolidation okay. of some of the IT systems, particularly in the Library of Congress. But also closely associated with that is the Copyright Office, which has, as many agencies have, this is sort of a foot stomper, backlog, administrative backlog, where they're looking for contract support to reduce administrative backlog. And see, that affects VA, Social Security Administration,
sure,
even DHS, who's trying to adjudicate you know, immigration status of people. You know, there's a lot of that going on. Very, very significant. Another growth area is the SEC, and I mentioned this briefly in another segment. SEC is planning to invest in additional systems and think Dodd-Frank Act,
mm-hmm.
Additional systems for ferreting out fraud, waste, and abuse.
Yeah, enforcement.
Right. And, you know, even their growth over that one-year period, 29% in contract spending. That
wow.
tells you that there's going to be something new going on in SEC.
Right.
Small agency, but nevertheless very important. And, you know, this is starting to point to another kind of theme, because I mentioned the IRS and their new responsibilities, particularly in the Affordable Care Act, the SEC, other parts of Treasury, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, growth areas, because they have to do with financial oversight. So, you know, therein lies some very intriguing growth area for technology companies and the consultants. Let's see, another one to pick on is CNCS, Corporation for National and Community Service.
Okay. I worked for the government 20 years, and I think that's the first time I've heard that particular organization mentioned.
Well, you've heard of VISTA.
Yes,
I
have.
You've heard of AmeriCorps.
Yes, I have. I've heard of those.
Right,
yes.
And there are several other those very prominent public volunteer organizations. CNCS is responsible for organizing and coordinating all of their efforts. And so there's an administrative function that requires enables the volunteers who work in those different volunteer organizations, which are nationally sponsored organizations, to log in and report time and da-da-da.
Sure.
So there's a portals. You know, that's part of that growth area,
mm-hmm.
which is, again, a small agency, but very, very intriguing growth potential.
Right. And you don't know, as a contractor, how that, you know, spins out into other opportunities or capabilities or things that you learn about the government through doing that work for that particular organization.
Sure.
There's a couple I wanted to ask you about because they sort of there seem to be going in different directions. Department of State, it looks like based on, you know, your analysis that their budget's going up a little bit or like 8%. At the same time, USAID is going down. Can you, you know, talk a little bit about why those two things are going like two trains or ships passing in the night?
That one I haven't quite figured out.
Oh, I have to. Hey, I feel great. That's made my day.
USAID is retrenching a bit. They're not spending as much on particularly the commodity-oriented programs that have been supporting various developing nations. So the numbers of people, about the same,
mm-hmm.
Contract support in general, about the same, but spending on things, product, to enable that. And State Department actually is continuing to spend more money on, you know, think about Benghazi, think about other situations, even back
security,
to,
infrastructure, that thing.
Yeah, it's been a pretty significant growth over the last couple of years, but it's continuing. It kind of surprised me that it's continuing over the next two or three years, too.
Right. And one agency, department I wanted to ask you about is just a quick snapshot on DHS.
DHS overall is not spending as much. And this has been happening now since the tail end of the Bush administration. As there, and there were some of the most significant large examples of insourcing that were going on at that time. Instead of paying, you know, rent-a-cops for Border Patrol, they were, you know, converting
government employees,
to government employees. And that still is going on in general. About the only area of growth, and say net growth in DHS is in the science and technology area. So there,
like cyber potential,
cyber is kind of a parallel activity.
Okay.
Science and technology is more associated with determining what technologies. This is kind of like RDT&E in defense. Yeah, what technologies were needed to suppress or detect terrorist threats?
Okay.
You know, obviously, cyber is a form of terrorist threat, but this is more like, you know, bombs and explosives.
Right. I think it would probably be obvious to say that cyber would, is a growth area in the budget or not.
Overall, I know some people say that, you know, I mean, DOD said we're going to be spending $5 billion, but then they asked Secretary Hale, you know, what he meant by that. And he said, well, I don't know exactly where it is. No,
right, sure.
They don't. And that's a combination of contract and government spending. Right. But it still is a pretty strong area. You know, I know people roughly keep it around $8 billion, and I kind of think that that's right. And it's because, and this is not anything new, because the administration, and not only administration, but common sense beyond the administration, says you got to design security in from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that means that systems are supposed to be built with a security level, you know, integrated already.
Sure.
So you don't need to put as many fixes on it. But then you still have traffic, communications traffic, network traffic that needs to be constantly watched. And so cyber, particularly in the military, is going to be still a very strong area of spending. And it's just real hard to put your fingers on it.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we've got a couple minutes left and just, you know, and give you a chance to sum it up, like what the market realities are for government contractors, I guess that's the best way to think about it, and what they need to think about moving forward in this, in these harsh times or this challenging market.
let's go back and reflect again on DOD. There was a lot of hype in the marketplace about sequestration, and the administration had their head in the sand. They said, you know, we don't think the sequester is going to be required because, you know, we'll figure, somebody's going to make sense of this.
Right.
Which didn't happen. And so, you know.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. And of course, that affected DOD because, as you were talking about earlier, the, some of the inflexibility in being able to allocate that, that sequestration or the sequester among different program lines. So, yeah, just about every project, if you will, got hit on a salami slice basis. And it was very painful in DOD. We knew it was going to be painful. But, you know, it, hype in the industry was saying, oh, this is so disastrous and it was terrible. And now, you know, people are sitting around saying, well, it wasn't that bad. And I certainly don't want to diminish it. It was bad. I mean, it was a very significant decline. But I spent some time looking at the actual net numbers in DOD.
Mm-hmm.
And the spending changes from 2012 to 2013, where the sequester hit, far more of that reduced spending was attributed to what DOD had planned as across-the-board budget cuts than it was to the sequester. And so the sequester, yes, it was in one of those, you know, pile-on things. It was painful. But nevertheless, it wasn't that big of a deal. And it it really forced, it was kind of forcing DOD's hand.
Sure.
On how do you rebuild this force structure? How do you design a warfighting capability for the future? It kind of forced their hand.
Yeah.
And so in that regard, painful as it was kind of a good thing. It was kind of cathartic.
Uh-huh. Sure. Okay. And Ray, we've run out of time. So I want to thank you for your awesome analysis and your inspired insight. My guest today has been Ray Bjorklund. He is the president of Birch Grove Consulting. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.